You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. Glover Show is sponsored by the Michaels Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloored.com.
With you guys on DGS, Kevin Wheeler hanging out. Nobody else. The rest of the guys are still on vacation. But we're more back on Friday. So just a couple of days away, just January 2nd, we'll kind of get the crew back together, and then next week we'll be back into normal business as usual. Got a short show today, 2:45. So we got about an hour and 45 minutes of show. 2:45, we got Billiken's pregame. The Billiken's taking on St. Joe's today. And that will be happening at 3:00 for the opening tip. And obviously we'll get to our pregame at 2:45. And then tonight for Rush Hour Sports from 5 to 6, that'll be Matt Pauly and me for whatever's left after Billiken's. So we'll go up until 6:00. So if they're done with post game at 5:15, we'll start then. If they're done at 5:30, we'll start then. So coming up after the game, we'll have a little bit of sports and a little bit of baseball for you here on KMOX. Going to be a little bit all over the place today in a short amount of time. And I mentioned yesterday at the beginning, this time of year is weird. I know Dave and we always, as a crew, we always talk about it, because sometimes when you have a long stretch where you're off, and your mind kind of gets away from show prep, gets away from thinking about different things that you would normally do as far as ideas, topics, things like that. You get back into show mode, and then you're off again, and then you do it back, and then you're off again. It's just a little bit disjointed and weird, and it's a little bit more weird around the holidays because there's so much going on. But here we sit, last DGS show of 2025. It's a little weird to say. So we'll talk to you guys next year. That'll be my sign off today. Talk to you next year. I've always found that like New Year's Eve, my experience only, not judging or determining this for anybody else, I've always found it to be the most overrated night. The most overrated night. There's like, I know that I don't mind finding excuses to celebrate. That's cool. It's not about that. I think it's a good idea to kind of celebrate the end of a year, the start of a new one. It doesn't really, it's not like anything magical happens when the number goes up, when you go from 2025 to 2026. But it builds in a mile marker, right, where you get a chance to think about what just happened, maybe look ahead to what may be happening. And our minds like mile markers. We like having kind of cornerstones to focus on as we're kind of moving through. Because a lot of times you just blah, like I mentioned this yesterday, January and February, just like get me through it as fast as I can. There's no great mile marker in there. There are no great stretches of time off like you get around Thanksgiving or you even get the 4th of July. It's cold. It's, like this. It's gray. Sometimes worse than that with snow and ice and all that nonsense. So you get that period there, this week right here, when you combine, all of the holiday season leading up to now, it's kind of like the fireworks at the end of the 4th of July, right? It's like, this is it. All right, boom, let's celebrate this thing going out. But I'm talking more about the execution of it. Like, people go too hard and it leads to issues. Things that you do trying to think about the stages. Like, I don't remember ever at any point in my life wanting to quote unquote go out for New Year's Eve. Like, that includes in college when we went to like nightclubs and stuff all the time. It wasn't really hard to give in to the temptation of South Beach when you're 19 or 20 years old. That's pretty easy. Like, all right, let's go. But it was never up like New Year's Eve, even at that age, even in the early in my early 20s. It's not like, all right, I got to go to this whatever place. I got to, you know, it's got to be a big show, or I got to do all this massive extra partying. Never been into that. I do like informal, like family getting together, hanging out, you know, but it's just funny how it used to, you used to have this, I don't know, maybe it's because we were lamer in the past, where you'd sit and watch like Dick Clark's New Year's Eve show or whatever other one. Like a lot of local TV stations did their own for a long time, and that's kind of stopped here. Not stopped entirely, but it's really come close to a stop in recent years. And, you know, there, you would, you know, when I was a kid, the cool thing to do was to watch the MTV New Year's celebration because you might get a few cooler artists on there. But overall, like, even those things are just so dumb. Like, if I catch those going across the screen, they're like, this is dumb. Why are people doing this? But tonight, I don't have to worry about any of that. I've got college football tonight, which has been, by the way, the last handful of years has been one of my favorite new things about college football's postseason. Is the New Year's Eve big game. Because it's also, A, think about it. It's a great excuse to get together with friends if you're a sports fan. And if you're not, you're doing your other thing anyway. It's a good night, though, to talk, to have something like that as a centerpiece. Because the other entertainment options that you're not doing yourself, right? Again, if you're going to a party tonight, be cool, have fun, be safe, all that. That's a different thing. But if you're not, there's nothing just more boring than watching New Year's Eve coverage of anything. So to me, those are like great movie nights. They're great video game nights. And then, you know, midnight comes around and you're like, well, feels just like it did 10 seconds ago. Nothing's changed. But I do, I think that people were worried that, the, you know, the New Year's Eve games for college football would be a bad idea. Like, nobody wants college football on these days. They want a party. Well, you kind of do both. And as you'll hear in the next segment, that, because I'm going to get into this a little bit, as to why sports are as big as they are. It's not really a discussion about sports, although it is to a degree because it starts with that. But it's more about our behaviors and habits and patterns and how we behave. But at least now we have this, you know, like those of us that don't want to be out all night. I don't mind it either. Like, I won't go to bed till 2 tonight. That's just my normal time. I don't mind being out. I just don't find any extra appeal on a night when everybody's out. So everything's crowded. Everything's packed to the brim. Everything's more expensive. The same thing you could have gotten, the same dinner, the same champagne, the same booze that you could have gotten a week ago, 2 weeks ago, is now twice as expensive. Hard to park, blah, blah. You know, like, it's that. It's that hassle. It's all that nonsense. That is like, okay, I can go without that. And I don't mean to be the party pooper, but it's a bit more than, it's a bit more. It's a bit much. I've never been into that. Of course, I'm also not, I mean, even though I had the South Beach time when I was in college and did a lot, went to a lot of parties, I'm not the party animal guy in the sense that I don't drink. Or I don't drink to get drunk. Let's put it that way. So if you're not doing that, then some of these nights just become hassles. You're just like, oh, so many drunk people and so many people that have taken it way too far. You know, there's a difference between, like, you know, the levels of drunk. Everybody's seen it. You know, you've got the ones that, you know, you got the people that are going to be just a little extra happy, you know, maybe tell the same joke 3 times, maybe a little clingy, too much like, all right, buddy, you don't need to hug me every time you see me. You get the ones that are just like gone. Like, they're just stumbling into things and you're like, oh my God, please. And the ones that, you know, the worst are the belligerent ones, but I don't think that's a majority. I just think that that's a thing that happens to certain people. We had a guy in college. I'll not go too deep into it, but his name was Mike, and Mike used to get like rage drunk. Like, when he drank as a college student, something, his fist was going through something, a door, a window, someone else's face, just every time. It was every time. And maybe that kind of experience soured me on it. You know, it's not overwhelming, but tonight is not the night for yours truly to want to go out and jump into the mosh pit. I'll save that for a concert. I don't need to. Now, if there were a great concert to go to on a New Year's Eve thing, that'd be kind of fun. But not that. Typically not my style of concert's going to be playing on a night like tonight. It's going to be a little poppier. It's going to be a little bit more, you know, something for everyone. And I'm not for everyone. I like my stuff and I want my stuff and that's all I want. I'm not in. I know there are other people. Like one thing I really like about Dave, really admire about Dave when it comes to music, is the broad tastes, and he likes a lot of different things. Nah, I don't. It's pretty much one speed, and it's triple speed. Pretty much one as we go. So this is just the beginning. Obviously, we got until 2:45 today. I got some interesting things that I want to get into, and I want to talk. We'll talk some Cardinals later, just for a few minutes. Kind of a look ahead to 2026, using this as the last day of the year as a jumping off point. We'll do that right before we go to Billikens today. There are a couple of interesting stories that are trending I want to get into. Have you guys seen the hashtag tax strike? It's been going around. Saw it last night on the Twitter. It's what it sounds like. People are claiming they're going to go on strike and not pay their taxes. Good luck with that. Let me know how that goes for you. But I do want to get into why that's happening and also why doing something like that, even as a hashtag, is just so stupid. And it's an indication of our general societal laziness, because we'd rather start a hashtag and tweet about it than actually take the steps we would need to take to change the thing. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. But up next, I want to talk about the domination of sports on television in the calendar year 2025. It's not a new thing. This has been happening for years, probably. It's at least a decade, maybe two decades. But sports dominate television. 96 of the most watched TV programs, the 100 most watched TV programs this year, were sporting events. 96. 92 of those are football. So why? Why are sports as big as they are? Why are the Cardinals as big as they are in St. Louis and in this region? Obviously, you know, this microphone that I'm speaking into and the antenna that's broadcasting it is part of that, right? The 50,000-watt history of KMOX is a big part of why Cardinals Nation is so big. And all of that is... But why are people so drawn to it as opposed to other forms of entertainment? We'll get into a little bit of that coming up next here on Camel X.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good to be with you here on DGS. Dave, Rach, and Andrew out for the holidays, and we're getting the crew back together on Friday, January 2nd. And then next week, we're kind of back to more business as usual. Friday will be fun. It'll be great to get everybody back in the same room, but it'll be weird because it'll be one day and then back to the weekend. Not complaining, just noting that it's a little odd. So I saw this last night, and this comes out around this time every year. This is not anything shocking or... in any way new, but the numbers came out again for the 100 most watched broadcasts in the United States. And 96 of the 100 most watched broadcasts were sporting events. So there was the Kentucky Derby as one of them. You had two World Series games. That was nice to see a couple of those. So games 6 and 7. Were there, and then I believe it was the college basketball national championship game was the other one that wound up cracking the top 100 that was not football. So you had four non-football sporting events, and then you had 92 NFL games amongst the top 100 most watched shows, most watched broadcasts, I should say, in the United States. And 96 total for football. So there were four college football games in there. And by the way, it used to be more. It used to be 96 NFL instead of 92. Yeah, it used to be 92 NFL. And the college games would be like maybe one. Now there are three or four a year because the college football playoff matchups have ramped up the broader audience to get you bigger viewing audiences for the games that normally it can be pretty regional, right? Like if you're looking at college games on a typical Saturday, the ratings are going to be somewhat regional except for primetime games. Well, the playoffs have kind of changed that. So why are sports this big? Broadcasters spend billions of dollars to get rights to football, basketball, hockey, baseball, men's and women's sports, college and pro. Streaming outlets do it. The broadcast networks do it. Why is everybody spending billions of dollars a year to carry live sporting events? Well, the practical answer to that is because live sporting events will carry a live audience. It's not entirely DVR proof. I know DVR is an old term, but that's the way that they used to look at it. But it's not entirely insulated from recording the game and watching it. But you're a lot less likely to do it because it's a live, real-time event that changes as it goes. And you never want spoilers, right? Think about it. If you haven't watched the most recent Stranger Things episodes, you don't want spoilers. Well, if you're a sports fan, it's really hard to avoid scores. They pop up on your phone. Your buddies text about them. You see it on social media. You basically have to go in. I do this pretty regularly. When I'm coaching, and especially in the fall, and I have a game that I want to watch, it's usually a Miami game, and it's the same time that I'm coaching, I won't watch it till later. Well, in that environment, it's easy for me to put my phone away because I'm doing something else. For those hours, those 2-3 hours, whatever it is, I'm actively doing something else. I don't check my phone. I don't look at my texts. But when you're just sitting around, you're always got your phone out. And you're going to see alerts. And you're going to get texts from buddies. And then you're going to be like, it's spoiled now. So that's why sporting events draw the odds. But why are we so drawn to sports? And I think maybe more in the United States than almost any other country. Why are we so drawn to it? And as a guy, I mean, look, I'm 30 years in radio, and for all of those 30 years, I've been a sports guy. And I understand it from that viewpoint. And what I try to do is try to get to the why. Like for me, the why was I grew up with it. I played sports. I really enjoyed it. And playing became following. And there's a connection that's a lifelong connection, right? And I understand that. That's how I understand it as a diehard sports fan. I'm trying to look at it from the view, though, of someone that's not a sports fan, because we have a lot of people that listen to KMOX that aren't diehard sports fans. And yeah, you like the Cardinals because they're St. Louis's team, and they've been so good for so long and have all these championships, right? There's a lot of reason to be a Cardinals fan, even if you're not a hardcore sports fan. But why do people like me exist in such numbers? Because these numbers, when you're looking at the broadcasts, I mean, football dominates everything. So why football in particular? But more importantly, why sports? Why do we have this? Well, there are a couple of things, I think. One is that the sports leagues are set up not perfectly, but they're structured in a way that you're trying to always level the playing field, right? You're trying to, in real life, the playing field's never level. You know, we talked about this a bit yesterday. It's a common theme. In real life, it's not, it's, we don't all play by the same rules. The wealthier you are, the more the rules change and bend for you, right? Well, that's still part of the dynamic in baseball, as an example, because there's no hard cap, but they share revenue. There are restrictions on, for example, how amateur players come into sports. The reason that drafts exist is to try to make it more fair and to give bad teams a chance to get good, because you get the best of the young players, ideally. But I think what sports do is what we fail to do in a lot of other ways in society, which is strive for fairness and competitiveness. And there are clearly doubts about from sports fans about whether it's all completely as fair as it looks. I mean, if you guys think that games are rigged, generally speaking, I'm not saying ever, but generally speaking, if you think there's like this grand plan and they're going to execute that way, you're crazy. Have games been influenced? Of course. We've seen players be influenced. I mean, you don't have to go all the way back to the 1919 Black Sox. We go back to this past season with Emmanuel Clase of the Cleveland Guardians, you know, spiking pitches to help gamblers. And which is why he's probably never going to play again, because he got caught doing that. So there are legitimacy questions, right? There's always people that are going to wonder if things are on the up and up. But think about what you have. You have rules about how each team can acquire talent, rules about how much you can spend, and punishments in baseball, for example, if you spend too much. That exists in the NBA and the NFL too, but it's a little different setup. And the NFL is a little bit more of a hard cap, is a hard cap, where the NBA is not. And the NHL is a hard cap. But the idea, though, is we have all these different mechanisms in place. Salary caps, luxury taxes, drafts, free agency, players have rights to leave, movement of talent. All of these things exist to create some semblance of fairness. You have neutral third parties officiating games and trying to ensure the outcomes are fair. Now, again, we all complain about referees. We all complain about umpires. It exists. But that entity represents something that doesn't always function in our best interests in day-to-day life. We don't have a neutral third party at the moment that does a great job of overseeing the two teams that are always fighting. And what happens in sports is you tend to have at least an attempt at fairness, right? At least an attempt at making sure that the rules apply equally to everybody. We know that it doesn't always go that way. We know star players get the benefit of the doubt sometimes, maybe too often. We know that certain teams, because umpires, referees, they're human, and the subconscious part of their brain will sometimes fire and give benefit of the doubt to a Patrick Mahomes or to a Michael Jordan or a LeBron James or whatever. But at least there's this structure in place, and we have video analysis, and we have replay to fix things. We have all these things that try to make it fair. And in a lot of the world, I don't sense that. I'm sure a lot of other people don't. There isn't enough of a focus on, hey, let's just make sure the rules are fair and that they're enforced the same for all of us. So you get a lot of that in sports. And then, of course, we've got a couple of comments on the stream. Brian throws in there, he says, humans love to be entertained. I guess, well, yeah, we've always loved to be entertained. I mean, there's never been a time in human history where entertainment wasn't a big deal. We just have greater access to it now. So maybe, I don't know, maybe we're like the lab animal that keeps pushing the button to get the fix. More entertainment, please. And yeah, all these other forms of entertainment are great, right? Movies still draw big audiences. The big TV shows are getting huge numbers on streaming and even on broadcast. But there's just something interesting about why the world of sports has continued to grow, continued to bring in more revenue, more people all the time. And yeah, it's pure entertainment. It's not recorded. It's not predetermined. It is actually a competition, which adds to the fun. But then there's also that extra element that sometimes there's an element of fairness there or an attempt at fairness that I don't think a lot of us see in day-to-day life. All right, hang tight. I don't know, I went a little long. I'm sorry, Kyle. Kyle's looking at me like it's time to shut up and take a break. Sorry, that's what I do. All right, stick around. I want to talk a little bit more about a topic related to yesterday's discussion about manipulating public opinion, manipulating our minds, but in a different way. And it all has to do with why conspiracies kind of grow and why people still doubt the moon landing and talk about flat Earth. I want to get into that coming up next here on KMOX.
Yeah.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Wednesday on DGS. Dave, Rach, Andrew will all be back. Not today, but Friday, I believe, we're all back. If not all of us, it'll be Dave and Rach and I that'll be back. And then next week, back to normal business as usual. And today, we're done in about an hour, hour and 5 minutes. So we're done at 1:45 today. We've got the Billikens pregame show. And then, I'm sorry, 2:45, not 1:45. We'd be done almost now. 2:45, we've got the Billikens pregame shows. 3 o'clock, they're taking on St. Joe's. And then once that wraps up, Matt, Pauly, and I will have whatever's left of Rush Hour Sports. It could be close to an hour. It could be 15 or 20 minutes. Just kind of depends on the length of the game and length of post game. But we'll be watching the Billikens and we're listening to Earl Austin Jr. and Bob Ramsey do their thing here on KMOX. That'll be coming up at 3 o'clock this afternoon. I want to play a little audio for you. And again, this particular topic is an interesting one. I saw this clip. This clip is from Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's on a podcast. I believe it was on the Sean Ryan podcast, who covers a lot of things. Dave and I brought him up quite a few times because he covers a lot of things that interest us. And in this case, they're talking about conspiracies. And I thought this tied in really nicely with the conversation yesterday about how we're constantly being manipulated. Sometimes just for business reasons, right? Sometimes it's just, hey, we want you to buy our product and this is the way we do this. Sometimes it's for political reasons. Sometimes it's just to gain power in some strange way. You know, there are a lot of reasons, but we are always kind of being manipulated. And one of the things that's made it harder to kind of keep everyone on the rails is just how fast information spreads, how the internet works when it's human beings, right? We end up, talked about this yesterday. We played the clip from Chase Hughes saying, if you're a person that's on the left, all you see on social media of people who are far right or on the right is the craziest of the crazies, and it makes you think everybody's crazy. And if you're on the right, what you see on social media is the craziest of the crazies on the left, and you think everybody's like that. And in reality, almost nobody is in the crazy, crazy category. Most people are in that middle where you're kind of normal and you have differing viewpoints on how to do things. But there are crazies on each thing. Well, people, and I don't mean that everyone that does this is crazy, because I mean, we all do this to a degree subconsciously. You kind of branch off into communities online. And it's never been easier to get confirmation of your beliefs or your ideas or even of just kind of your theories. There's a group for everyone. And then when you stay in the group too much, it all becomes more real than it actually is. Kind of so that dynamic we talked about with politics yesterday, this is more about how ideas spread and why they go this way. So you've got a lot of flat earth. I shouldn't say a lot. Too much. Too much focus. Like, are you sure the earth is round? Yeah, we're sure. We knew this 2,000 years ago as a species. They figured it out in ancient Greece. All they had to do was measure shadows. And you can see curvature, and that tells us what we need to know. And they knew this over 2,000 years ago. And yet, here we are, in an era where information has never been more clear or more available. We have things muddying the waters. Part of that is a result of generations now, probably a generation and a half, two generations, of people purposefully undermining expertise. You can't listen to experts. They don't really know. Well, you know, they kind of do. Meanwhile, everybody in their own area of expertise doesn't want to hear from someone outside. But when it comes to someone else's expertise, they don't know. I know. I read it on a forum. Saw it on Reddit. Saw it on Twitter. But anyway, this information spreads in very weird ways. Another one of those that these things have grown in recent years. So the further we move away from the actual thing, like the discovery that the Earth was round 2,000 plus years ago, the fact that the moon landing happened and was on television and, you know, a satellite from another country, from Japan, went up and they video the moon. And boy, look at that. There are the tracks from the lander and from the rover, and there's the footprints. They're still there because they don't have atmosphere. Nothing would have changed them. Despite all of the evidence there, there's this fight against it. Ah, it never happened. Well, that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson is kind of explaining. And his logic here makes a lot of sense. And it comes down to people either not understanding science or not understanding, like, motivations and how and why things work.
Isn't it amazing that our technological and scientific achievements are so great that members of the civilization that created it are in denial of it? What a compliment to how far that technology has come.
Nice.
What a compliment. Thank you for the compliment.
Thank you for the compliment.
That it's mystery and magic to you done on a Hollywood set. There's 10,000 scientists and engineers, plus or minus a few thousand. You saw the launch. You can calculate how much fuel is in that rocket. The rocket is 36 stories tall and the astronauts are up here. And the rest of that is fuel. And then they launch. And we have warehouses of engineering drawings trying to get this Saturn V off the ground. And all of the preliminary ones, you've seen the videos of rockets exploding on the launch pad. Thankfully, no one was aboard. They were test runs. So all of this is happening leading up to the Saturn V rocket. So there it is. I would submit to you that to fake all of that would require so much effort that you might as well just do it. Okay? And calculate how much fuel this is. That's enough fuel to go into orbit, go to the moon, orbit the moon, come back to Earth. That's how much fuel is actually in the rocket. One thing that all conspiracy theorists have in common, all of them, is they already know the answer that they want. And where they don't have data to support it, they invoke a cover-up.
A lot of cover-ups out there. And so on this one in particular, and I don't really want this conversation to be entirely about the moon landing specifically, although it's a good jumping off point to kind of get into, and the flat earth thing ties into it too, is like, what would be the purpose of continuing the charade? I can get the argument that late 60s, Cold War, you might want it out there so that our enemies, Russia, would think that we're light years beyond them. And this is why you could convince people, me, even me, like that could be a motivation at that time. But keep in mind, we weren't just trying to fool them. It was a Cold War. We were actually trying to gain the upper hand because they had already put something in space and we wanted to do something that they weren't capable of so we could establish our dominance and our superiority. But you think about it, as he's starting to allude to there, tens of thousands of scientists, all of the people that work on the various parts, all of the people that designed everything, the men, the guys that were, you know, fighter pilots serving our country who ended up becoming astronauts and being on the moon. You're telling me every one of these people lied and continued to lie to this day when it wouldn't matter anymore? There was a great podcast, and I'm forgetting the name of it. I saw it a couple years ago where they took some of the biggest Hollywood special effects people in the business now and said, hey, using the technology that was available at that time, could this be faked? And they went through it all and they're like, no, we can't do this. We could do it with CGI. We could do it with computer graphics and green screens like you see on the Avengers or like you see on Star Wars. Like, yeah, we could do that with modern technology and make it look that way. But with technology from the 60s, we couldn't do that. And that's even with the last 60 years of knowledge adding on to what you had at that time. And yet we still have this strong belief that this exists. And that is the nature of kind of where we are in our development. Maybe there is such a thing, and I don't think it's bad, by the way. I do not think the explosion of information that we've seen in the last 30 plus years, I don't think it's a bad thing, but it does have negative consequences. Just like we talk about with social media. You know, there are good things about it. There have been times where having social media has saved people's lives because you've seen, oh no, there's a disaster here, or oh man, there's a shooting on campus, and you can see it immediately. News spreads very fast. Well, fake stuff spreads just as fast, and we haven't done a good enough job as a species, as a society, of teaching people how to sort through it. It's hard, man, and it's only getting harder because AI is making it more difficult. You know, once they start getting rid of a lot of the basic mistakes that AI makes in creating content, you know, like mixed up letters on a t-shirt that make you say, oh, that's fake, because it's not a real t-shirt if it says blurpity derp, but that shirt says blurpity derp in that picture, it's probably an AI picture. It is going to be very long before those things aren't happening anymore. We got an interesting comment from Matt Mann. Said, when science and government converge, trust in science erodes. I think you're right. I don't think that it makes a lot of sense, though. And I know, I get what you're saying, because I do think that people just inherently, especially in modern times, have a distrust of government. And it's well-earned. Look, it's not hard to lose people's trust. You know, look, major media companies, the big ones especially, the big networks on TV, the cable news networks, a lot of them have lost trust because of how they've done things. Because they've made the play for ratings and not for accuracy. They made the play on emotion and not just reporting facts and information. Why did they make that change? Well, they made that change because there's more money in that. Kind of, you know, it's weird. I didn't really think of it this way, but until just now. But some of it goes back to that whole idea about sports. Why do we like sports? Why do we watch so much? Because we like to be entertained. The problem is we've turned news into entertainment, which is where you get that lack of trust. But all of this stuff that we have, we wouldn't be where we are as a species without the scientific discoveries that we've had. All right, real quick, we got to take a break. I did it again. Here it is. I'm like flying solo, and I'm still running late. This is the world when you're dealing with me. So stick around. We got a lot more to do. A couple of interesting trends that are going on in social media. Cardinals preview in 2026 coming up next hour as well. And we'll get to this question. I see a lot of people like, why is nobody covering this story? And then you go look it up and you're like, oh, everybody's covering this story. So why aren't you seeing it? We'll get to that a little bit later on as well here on KMOX. Right, back in on DGS, Kevin Wheeler here with you till 2:45, and then we have Billikens basketball pregame, and then 3 o'clock for the opening tip, Billikens against St. Joe's. I got to rewind to the beginning for just a second. The beginning of the show, we were talking about New Year's Eve, and you know, miss me with all the parties. Definitely miss me with anything to do with Times Square. But I saw this comment from Mike on the stream, and he said, last year, I looked at Times Square New Year's photo from 1919. Thousands of people are in the street. And then I had the thought, where did they all go to the bathroom? So I looked up the first portable toilet. And if memory serves, the first portable toilet was in the early 1930s, which was more than a decade after that. He said, before that was a wild tuxedo gross sort of time. Yeah. And here's the thing, man. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you listening. Funny story. The people that are going to be in Times Square in 2025 turning into 2026, they're going to be wearing diapers because there aren't enough bathrooms for everybody. So they're going to be wearing diapers. Come on now. Am I being judgmental when I say that there's something wrong with you? If to do that thing that you want to do for fun, you need to wear a diaper. I mean, this is from the New York Post. Revelers are being forced to layer up on up to 4 diapers. with people selling them on the street to everybody there. They're $50 a pop. My God, stay home. If you got to poop your pants to go enjoy New Year's Eve in Times Square, probably not worth going. Okay. I'll just settle on that. Stick around. We'll pick DGS up back up after the news.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.